This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Welcome back to Embracing Quran and the tafsir of Surah Yasin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says now, and now we're in a new segment. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا أَنْعَامًا فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. He said, can't they see that we've created for them with that which our hands had made? أَنْعَامًا, cattle, فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. And they end up becoming owners of these cattle as well. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give them a few more signs of His capability, His capacity, His strength. Allah has given them many angles of His strength already. Allah told them of His ability to be able to resurrect. Allah told them of His ability to be able to take a day and move it, and take a night and move that, and take the huge, you know, body that is known as the sun and not make it stationary, at least for the way we look at it. All right? Despite the fact that it is stationary in reality, except that it rotates on its axis. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it seem to us as if it's moving. That's all from the power of Allah, and for it to happen in that same cycle, in the same way, throughout centuries, for hundreds, thousands of years. All of that is the power of Allah. Now Allah wants you and I to see another angle of the strength of Allah and the power of Allah, that Allah creates something bigger than us, stronger than us, more capable physically than us, but then Allah subjects that to us. Allah says, can they not see that Allah handmade for them an'aman, cattle, which are obviously bigger than you, فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ, and they end up becoming owners of these cattle, even though they're smaller or less physically capable in many different ways. But they're owners. How does that happen? And they are subjected completely to you. Why don't they just rebel, these creatures that we end up owning? Why don't they just rebel? Why is it that a person who owns a dog is able to tame the dog? Why doesn't the dog just kill the dog master, right? The dog owner. Why is it that the cattle, you know, you're talking about a cow that is really large or even bigger than a cow, a camel. Why is it that this camel doesn't just revolt against its owner and completely eradicates him? Because he can if he wants. He has the physical capacity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ. What have we done? We've taken this particular creature that is bigger than them, and we have tamed it for them. فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ. And this is even more shocking if you think about it, because Allah says, فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ. And in that is their ride, and that same thing they end up eating as well. Allahu Akbar. Allah has made your ride your ownership, something that you own. And that object that you own, it's in your possession. Allah has made your drink from it. Because He says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِبُ. You can drink from it if you want. And then you can ride it as well. And you can eat it as well. Like, you know, when you're driving today, as great as cars have become, they're not as good as this, if you think about it. Because you can't eat a car. You can drive really fast on it. It's nice and comfortable. It gives you a lot of different aspects of comfort. Nowadays, there are self-driving cars as well, so they can drive for you. But this is another level of blessing, because you're on your mount, and as you're traveling, you know, it's going to give you things to drink, and it's going to give you other benefits as well. You could shave it off and make something of the fur if you're getting cold. All right? وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعَ. Allah talks about that. You can shave it and use the fur to be able to make a coat out of it for yourself, even while it's alive. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's going to keep you warm. It's going to be a drink for you. And you're riding it along your journey, wherever you're traveling. And on top of that, if you feel stranded and you're hungry, you can literally slaughter it and eat it as well. And on top of all of this, it's bigger than you in size, more physically capable than you, but nonetheless, Allah has tamed it for you. That's a gift from God. if you think about it from all those angles. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ And for that reason Allah says, all of this and you still don't thank me. And it's not even like that. If you buy a car, it depletes itself. The value decreases. As soon as you walk out of the showroom, you've bought your car, $10,000-$15,000 drop on your car's value immediately because it's now gone from new to used. As for these rides that Allah has created, the divinely created rides, they appreciate in value because they can procreate. So if you have one animal, it can procreate into 2, 3, 7, 10, and you have a lot of animals. You could potentially be riding one and bring the other one along with you for food and for drinks. This is Allah's creation. It appreciates in value. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ Allah gives them this beautiful grant and this beautiful gift. Despite that, they end up taking other partners, they end up taking other deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can get help from those other deities. How are they to help these people? And Allah is the one who created them and He also created those objects that they decided to worship. And one of the reasons why Allah follows this up with the concept of cattle, because in many cultures, cattle is actually revered, right? There's some degree of reverence, and also sometimes people worship cattle as well, some people in the world. And throughout generations, we've seen, you know, forms of paganism arise where cattle is considered very revered because of all of this. Because you end up getting a drink, you end up getting a mount, you end up getting a ride, you end up getting a tilt, you end up getting all these different benefits from one animal. And it procreates, so you get richer as well. And you can use the one for ride, one for food, one for drinks, one for, you know, one for farming. You can do a lot of things with cattle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about this. And then because there are people in the world who make these cattles also objects of worship, Allah says that after I gifted it to you and subjected it to you, you end up taking it as an object of worship as if it is to help you. He says that that's not going to happen. لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ نَصْرَهُمْ They will never be able to help you. Why? وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُحْضَرُونَ They're not going to help you, O people. These cattle are there, subjected to you, to benefit you. They're not meant to help you in other ways, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or against your enemies, and so forth. No, that's not the case. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those cattle that you're seeking, or those objects of worship that you're seeking to gain help from, right? Those objects of worship that you're seeking to gain help from, they will turn against you on the Day of Judgment as well. وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُحْضَرُونَ Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an that وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ That the fire is kindled by human beings and also by rocks as well. And the scholars of Tafsir, they explain that the rocks that are being spoken of over here in this ayah are basically the rocks that the humans themselves worshipped. So if human beings are worshipping idols, the idols will actually be used to kindle the fire that the humans will also be burning in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think that those idols that you end up worshipping, sometimes those idols are made of cattle as well, as you know. So those idols that you end up worshipping, don't think that they'll actually be able to help you. Rather, they will be an army against you on the Day of Judgment, because these idols will be thrown into the fire to be further kindled, so that fire will be kindled for you because you were worshipping other than Allah. رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ So don't allow their words to give you grief, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they come and they reject the Qur'an by saying, you're crazy. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you're not crazy, O Muhammad. Rather, you are completely intellectually capable. You are the epitome of intellectual capacity, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they used to say about the Prophet ﷺ that he's also a poet. They would say he's gone mad. Allah said he's not gone mad. And they would say he's a poet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he's not a poet. This is the Quran, that is the word of God. You better recognize it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet, when they speak, I know that it's hurting you. I know that you're being bothered. And that's, by the way, very important. Allah is telling the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't allow their words to bother you. Don't allow their words to lead you into grief. Don't allow their words to lead you into sorrow. So words are very powerful. If they can impact the Prophet, and the Prophet is the most mentally stable human being known to humanity, then obviously all the rest of us could be impacted by words as well. You've got to be very careful with the words that you use with people. Words can make or break people. There are people in this world who commit suicides because of the words that they hear from people. You are going to be held to account for the words that come out of your mouth. If they hurt a person in that way, then you'll have to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your words. You best be careful about your words, my brother, my sister. These people, Allah is saying that the Prophet is being impacted by the words of these people. But Allah is consoling the Prophet, and He says to the Prophet, إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. We know the things that they are hiding, and they recognize you to be a true Prophet and not an imposter. We know that. And we know that they are expressing the opposite of that, and they're saying things to you to try to stop you from your message and to try to hinder you, and that's not what Allah wants to happen. But Allah can recognize all that, and Allah has already seen that. So know, O Muhammad, that this is known to Allah. It shouldn't be hindering you, and don't allow it to sorrow you. Don't allow it to put you through grief. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the emotional strength to be able to handle the words of people when we are delivering the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we're able to understand that these words, they're temporal, and that if we end up continuing on our journey to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will have that divine word from Allah. When we're in Jannah, salamun, which is the word of peace, Allah saying salam to us, qawlan min rabbir rahim, a word from Allah who is ever merciful. And that is the word of God. So I hope Allah gives us that word, the word of peace and comfort and security on the Day of Judgment. If you feel unsafe today, remember Allah is giving you safety. Allah is giving you safety, and He will definitely give you that safety. He'll give you that security. So wait for that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you and I security and peace and safety and serenity. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to appreciate the blessings of Allah, like the cattle and like the animals that Allah has subjected for our needs. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ